Hello, my name is Ben.
Hello, my name is Jackie.
And we are your hosts of the Too Vague podcast this week. One word, two hosts, stories, trivia, and video games. Jackie, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
You've got a very cool radio voice, by the way.
Do I? I actually don't really like my voice very much.
Why is that?
I feel like it's a little whiny.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so at all.
All right.
I used to hate my voice until I started the podcast, and I have to listen to it every day. So now it's like, it's just my voice. It's fine. But you get used to it. Oh,
the cat's...
No, don't worry about it. He's not going to jump on your face or anything.
Looks like...
He's like, I want
to
jump...
Looks like he's waiting to pounce.
No,
okay, nope.
No,
okay.
No.
That was a scary look. He was very determined.
Yeah. I think what he really wanted to do was jump on the back. He likes jumping on the back of these things.
Oh, the
back
chair.
Of the chair. Yeah, back of the poong. That's
well,
a,
yeah. Of course.
That's the chair you're sitting in is a
yes,
poong.
Yes, I am aware. This is a very famous famous IKEA poong.
Yeah,
chair.
Yeah. You're familiar.
So I'm very familiar.
Nice.
I feel like I grew up sitting on one of these things back in the, you know, the early 90s and
yeah,
stuff.
It's definitely very comfortable.
I'm a big IKEA fan, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Sensible pricing, good design.
Exactly.
What's not to love?
Yeah. Furniture solutions.
Yeah.
And other interior decorating stuff. So what's going on with you? Anything exciting? Anything new?
I guess it's always a bunch of stuff going on in my head. I guess the new thing is I'm just dabbling with the idea of getting my master's this week. So
oh,
that's,
okay. Just
that's
this week?
The
you're
going to
just
thing.
Get
like,
it this week?
Literally.
Just in a week.
Just in a week. Yes.
I'm that smart.
Yes. That's the new news in my brain
yeah.
for the week.
Okay. So do you usually have things that just come into your brain and you ruminate over them for a week and then they kind of, it just kind of rotates?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Because when I met you, we sort of talked about your ceramic stuff.
Right. My art, quote unquote, career.
Why are they in quotes?
I am struggling with the whole being an artist thing right now.
Hmm.
And I feel like a lot of other ceramicists are having like a burnout phase in their life.
Anyway.
Actually, it was not intended, but really good.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to call
own it.
I'm going to own it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm owning that all the ceramicists out there are burning out.
Yeah. Literally.
Pun intended.
Figuratively.
Yes.
But anyway, so what is a ceramicist?
What is a ceramicist?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what does that mean?
I guess it could mean a lot of different things. I think that's also another struggle too, just within the area of contemporary art. Just by me working in specifically the ceramic medium, it's a little strange because traditionally ceramics is categorized as a craft medium. It's not really fine art, but now there's a big push to kind of recognize ceramics as a fine art medium.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the channel that I've sort of carved out for myself in the past few years. So that's really exciting, but it's hard being an artist, putting yourself out there. So yeah, it's been a few years now and I'm just kind of exhausted from the grind of self-promotion, working in the same body of work since 2018. I'm starting to get tired of it. I'm trying to shift my creative vision, but then that is also another struggle. So,
right. Are you looking for new mediums? Or are you still trying to stay with ceramics, but find some sort of a new angle?
All of the above. I think it's helpful to dabble in other mediums for fun. So right now I'm really getting into more tie-dyeing and sewing.
Okay. I was thinking like sculpture. You can kind of see the line between ceramics and sculpture.
Well, most of my work are sculptures to begin with. So yeah, I'm figuring out also within the sculpture realm what to do. I love functional stuff, but really hard to just crank out the same thing every single day.
Right.
So I don't want to go that route.
It's sort of similar to our word this week, which is the
yes.
word trend. Are there trends in the art world that you try to follow or keep aware of? How does that work for the art world specifically?
I would say I wouldn't want to follow any trends,
yeah.
but there are definitely trends in ceramics itself. And I guess I'm a little hesitant on following them because my entire career I worked as a fashion jewelry designer. So my job was to just like pick up on trends and sort of copy them for the brands out there. So I don't want to follow any trends in ceramic because I don't want to be copying other artists. And, you know, I want to respect their viewpoints, but it's just, it's really tough. You walk into like Anthropologie or Cost Plus World Market and there's a ton of ceramics that they sell for just dirt cheap. Right. And I know exactly which artists they're copying. And it's really hard to see that. But that was also my job in my previous life.
So when you did that, did you consider yourself an artist or did you consider yourself something different? Because it, I mean, if you're copying, if you're just straight you're kind of at a point where you're like, I'm doing something that is creative, but not at the same time.
Exactly. I would call that a design job.
Okay.
100%. There's so little creativity in it, but it's still fun. It's still creative in comparison to being like a tax accountant or something.
Right.
Where I don't feel like you can be that creative.
There's creative accounting. Trust me. There is a creativity in design. But I mean, I understand what you were getting at. It's more of a, you're emulating whatever the trend is because it's popular. So the focus is more making the money on the thing.
Wow, Ben, I love that you use the word emulating and made it sound so, it makes it sound so much better than
copying.
That was my job, copying.
Not emulating. Okay. Well,
But I might have to start using the word emulate now.
Exactly. It's one of those things, as far as when you're talking to someone, you can use things that pitch it in a little way that makes it feel a little bit better to you. If you're emulating something, that's better than,
yeah,
or inspired by, but I mean, that's emulating is like you're taking something and you're trying to copy it essentially.
But it has a more gentle, admirational sense.
Yeah, it's got a more positive slant to it than than copy.
Yes, I like, or tracing. I like that.
So that's what's going on with you thinking about getting the, what is it?
Master's, higher education.
So a master's in fine arts or a master's in something?
I'm looking at a human-computer interaction or user experience design. So one of those. Boost up my credentials a little bit so that I can, slide on from being physical product designer to a digital product designer.
There's a little bit more focus on functionality in those digital.
Totally.
Whereas something like your ceramics or even products, there's a view component that seems to be more important.
When I did jewelry or ceramics, it's more definitely focus on the aesthetics. I didn't really do any mugs or anything, but a big thing with, you know, functional ware is you want to make sure the vessel holds water well.
Right.
But that's really the only main focus. So there's way more out there in the digital world.
Oh, yeah.
To dabble in for sure.
Yeah. And a lot of creativity, I think we need to figure out how to express ourselves and not stay limited to the human. You know what I mean? Just like if we're going to make a world, let's make something really creative and out there. Something that doesn't duplicate life, the mundane nature of life. But anyway, we're not going to get negative on this show.
No, we're not.
Let's talk about the top four trending colors of 2024. Periwinkle. No, let's not. Let's not talk.
Are you on the Pantone? Is this the Pantone list?
No. Is there a Pantone list?
Pantone publishes a color of the year every year.
Ah. Pantone color of the year 2024.
Yeah, what is the 2024? Actually, I don't remember.
It is peach fuzz.
I'm sorry. I just...
That's fine.
Wait, is that for real? Is that is this the Onion reporting this?
No, it's not. 13-1023 peach fuzz. That's what it says.
Oh my gosh, wow. I'm surprised they're doing another blushy peach color because I feel like in the last few years, like another peach fuzzy color was also color of the year. So this is sort of a repeat.
Did Latrice pick them herself, the executive director of the Pantone Color Institute?
I'm not, you know what? Actually, I never tried to figure out how they came out with this color of the year. I thought it's kind of like a trendy thing that in the color zeitgeist, they kind of just figured out, oh, this is a popular color.
Motorola, togetherness at your fingertips. Apparently that's what Peach Fuzz is, sharing and kindness.
What?
That's what it says here. I don't.
What does Motorola have anything to do with this?
Yeah, they did a collaboration with Motorola.
Okay.
It says Kariuma, Cariuma.
Oh, Cariuma? Oh, Cariuma. That's a brand. I think that's a shoe brand.
Oh, Cariuma. Okay.
Yeah.
See how in tune I am with with stuff?
Well, I feel like you're pretty in tune in other trendy things. I mean, in our other conversations, you mentioned like Juicy Couture tracksuit suits.
Yes,
Juicy Couture. And I'm thinking, wow, okay, Ben knows his fashion.
I do not know my fashion. It was more for the sake of wondering why people would want the word juicy on their butt.
Well.
I don't understand that. Maybe I should.
That was a huge trend in the early aughts, like just having words on your bum.
And that was, okay, so late 90s, early 2000s, right?
Yes, it is. I remember those days.
Yeah.
I never actually owned Juicy Couture sweatpants with Juicy on the butt. Actually, I never owned any pants with words on the butt, but I did admire the trend and thought, it's cute, but I don't know if I want to do that.
Would you say it was cheeky?
Yes, I would 100% say it was cheeky.
I had a friend who went to Bakersfield High School. Their mascot was the Driller.
What is the Driller?
It's like a oil drilling.
Oh, like, wow. Know. Okay. Yeah.
And that was their mascot. And they had sweatpants that said Go Drillers on the butt cheeks, which does not sound like it's a good idea to wear those, I don't think. That's
but
not,
that is so amusing.
It's amusing, yeah. Still, it's like putting stuff on the butt cheeks. I don't... Yeah, maybe if I get a merch store, that's the first thing we should do is a pair of sweatpants that says too vague on the butt cheeks.
Oh, that is really good. Yeah. That is an amazing piece of merch.
Yeah.
Anyway. I am pro this merch store.
Yeah.
I feel like even people don't listen to it, they would want the too vague
butt cheek sweatpants.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm going to make them in velour. I don't think that's a good idea. But maybe just normal sweatpants material, you know, cotton. Just,
you don't want to go all in on the trend.
That's another interesting question about the word trend is when you have what's trending be something that was popular 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I mean, it's
coming back now. I feel like that's the cycle we're in. We're always in like a 3 decades kind of revival situation. I mean, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but yeah, right now 90s fashion's totally in. So the whole velour thing is back, which is really strange for me to witness. I mean,
you're an old millennial.
Okay, I'm an elder millennial. I still can't get those XYZ things straight. But yes, as an elder millennial, it's weird to see that what I grew up with is now cool again.
Yeah. I mean, I remember some stuff from the 90s, but it was all punk rock stuff that I was doing, like coloring my hair and getting piercings and all sorts of stuff. That was pretty much my 90s.
Did you Sharpie in your nails?
No, I actually used nail polish.
Okay.
I had some black nail polish, some Urban Decay.
Oh,
I forget which Urban Decay.
Oh, Urban Decay.
It was.
Wow, you're very cool.
What?
That you, Urban, it's just, I don't even know if, does Urban Decay still exist?
Yes, they do. They make color palettes. Yeah, it's so weird. I was talking to someone who was a Gen Z. And they were telling me, yeah, they make color palettes.
I'm happy they're still around. I was a big fan of Urban Decay and Hard Candy nail polish.
Yeah.
Back in the, you know, the year 2000.
Is it weird that I know what a color palette is? I don't know. Maybe it is. Not as weird as me owning all of the seasons of...
Gilmore Girls?
Yeah.
I mean...
The secret's out.
The secret is out, guys. Ben is a huge Gilmore Girls fan, and he is Team Dean.
Team Dean.
I am so shocked.
I know. You know, everyone is. No one gets it, but I just like Dean more.
But you gave some good reasoning. So. Yeah. But yes, Ben is a very interesting character. That's what I have learned.
If you have listened to the podcast, you kind of probably gleaned that already.
I'm a new listener.
Yes. Urban Decay. Let me look this up. Yeah, here we go. Urban Decay's website, the official website.
Oh, hold on. I gotta look. Oh, wow. Look at that website.
They're still around. But I mean, it's not like the original stuff. Like you would go to your Hot Topic and see all the Urban Decay things all over the place.
Oh, my gosh.
I would like some brews, please. That's the one I like, the brews.
I mean, were they the ones that really started the trend on interesting cosmetic names?
It seems to me like they did, because they did have really unique punk rocky sounding ones.
Yeah.
That was a trend for a while. Well, back in the 90s, you also had Hot Topic, which was sort of a trend.
That, yeah.
Going to the mall.
I mean, does
that... kind of a trend.
Does Hot Topic still exist?
I think they have an online presence, but let's check it out.
On the internet? I mean, I haven't been inside a mall in like a year.
I think they're pretty much dead. Yeah, it looks like Hot Topic pop culture merch and clothing store.
Oh.
Yeah, it looks like still the same old stuff. Although we got alternative-y looking people with their shorts, beach shorts, which is weird. Now it's asking me to spin. I don't want to spin. Just...
Oh, it's those pop-ups. That's an e-commerce trend, by the way.
Oh.
Pop-ups like with the spinning thing where you're like supposed to pick out your discount or whatever.
Yeah.
That is an e-commerce trend. Yes, this is that's what I'm studying. It's all this digital trend stuff.
Interesting. So is this a part of, I mean, you're studying it in your own time, yes?
Well, yes. I also like to look out for trends, like web trends, because I just finished my Google UX design certification last year. So I'm like hyper aware on all this stuff. Whenever I'm on a website or an app, I see trends, like all the different food apps. They all have very similar trends in the user flows and things like that.
Right.
So yeah, I'm seeing, yeah, the spin to win thing on Hot Topic. That is definitely an e-commerce trend that I hate as a consumer.
If people hate it, why do they do it?
I mean, right? I don't know if other people hate it. Maybe it's just me. I mean, who doesn't want a discount, right? And that's what you spinning the wheel is supposed to get you, some kind of discount.
Yeah, but isn't that what honey's for?
Do people still use that?
Maybe.
I feel like I haven't seen a honey ad in a while, so I don't know if that's still a thing. Or I'm sorry, I haven't heard a honey ad in a while.
It used to be the flavor of the month for your podcasts, right? It's like that was that. There was also the
who's
the
doing
meal
all
kits,
this? You know? Oh, I think the meal kits are still happening.
Yeah.
But instead of Blue Apron, now it's like the other one is a Hungry Root, or I forgot. I don't know. So there's a more vegetarian friendly one now. There are many spinoffs.
There should be a food kit that kind of borrows from that whole Urban Decay thing.
Oh, that would be so funny. I don't want to be advertising for Misfit Markets.
Oh.
But that's one of the, I guess they're sort of new. They're not that new, but they are. You get like the bruised vegetables, or the vegetable just doesn't look perfect to be in the box. So
I've seen that on YouTube.
Like for saving, and they're saving the food.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to partner up with Urban Decay and do a little cross-promotion there
stuff
with the name.
Cross-promotion. You know what? Before we get any further into it, because I know that we're knee-deep in trends right now. And we got a lot of other places we need to go. I'm going to start with the definition of the word trend. According to Oxford Languages, the word trend, a noun, a general direction in which something is developing or changing, an upward trend in sales and profit margins. The next noun is a fashion, the latest trends in modern dance. The third noun, we have a topic that is the subject of many posts on social media, a social media site or application within a short period of time. So it's made the dictionary. Thank you. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, Reddit did just go public.
Did it?
Yes. So that's, we're seeing that now, you know, the whole trend.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, let's toxicity is one of my concerns with all this stuff in general. But one last thing, we've got the verb, and that is change or develop in a general direction. Also of a topic, be the subject of many posts on social media again, or applications within a short period of time. So that is trend.
I mean, Ben, we can't escape the internet.
No, we can't.
Unfortunately.
But I can be angry at it. I can be frustrated with it. Fair. I just don't want to participate in that toxicity. That
toxic rhetoric.
Yeah. I agree. Just in general, it's like, why hate? Why do that? If you had someone in front of you, half the stuff that is said in social media will not be said to someone face to face. I mean, really. And if you did, you would risk a reaction that probably you wouldn't like, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
But, you know, nature of the beast, I have to put out my podcast. I have to tell people about it on some sort of platform. It's not like I hate them. If they're used for good, I'm all for it, because I've met some really cool people through Twitter and through social media.
Yeah. So, same.
Use over time. Wow.
There's a lot on there.
I use Google's, they have an Ngram viewer. If you're a Google person, you know.
I am a Google. Hello. I have a Google Pixel phone right here.
The Ngram viewer is always fascinating to me, just to see how a word is used over time.
Wow.
In print. So it basically just started getting popular from the 1850s and then started increasing and increasing. And of course, now it's pretty high usage. The origin of trend, Old English, trendan, to revolve or rotate, of Germanic origin, compare with trundle. Trundle is a wheeled vehicle. Okay. With reference to a wheeled vehicle to move or cause to rotate. You learn something new every day, the word trundle. A verb sense, turn a specified direction, dates from the late 16th century and gave rise to the figurative use of develop in a general direction in the mid-19th century, a development paralleled in the noun. So it's something that's basically developed since the mid-19th century, which is kind of what it shows in the Google Ngram viewer.
Oh, that's very cool.
Trend, relatively new word. So, right,
less than 200 years old.
So the word trend, when you came up with that, what were you thinking about? Does it have to do with your trying to get into more digital design and trying to understand those things so you can tailor what you're doing with your direction or with expressing yourself?
That's part of it. But I also listened to your friend that came on that's a writer and picking the word narrative.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, well, I worked as a fashion designer for so long, and the word trend is constantly in my brain because of that work. And then now that I've tapered away from doing that work, trend is still in my head all the time with other things like artwork, ceramics, now that I'm studying digital design.
That's definitely a part of digitals.
It's digital huge. Anything, right? I mean, I feel like any career I'm going to pick, I'm still going to be in the whole trend zone, or just any kind of, I feel like any point in my life, whatever I do, trend is a huge part of it. It's just kind of in my blood now. I just love seeing what is trending.
So from a fashion, what's popular sort of point of view, because I think of popularity as whatever the trend is, it's the popular thing, which in my youth was always a bad word.
Popularity is a bad word for you?
Not popularity necessarily, but anything that was the popular thing, I always wanted to do the opposite of that. I wanted, you know, and then eventually that thing would become the popular thing, and then I would stop doing that and then do something else.
Right.
Yeah. Which is, I don't know, your youth, you know, I wanted to be rebellious.
Yes, you have a rebellious nature. It's funny that you brought up trend as popularity, because for me, I mean, this is like back in the early aughts when you worked in fashion, you have to watch all the fashion shows as they're happening, or back then, because it was not as internet focused, you would have to buy these books that they would publish every season on all the runway shows.
Oh, wow.
And you would have to look through all of these books to find the common thread yeah. between all the different brands that showed during Fashion Week.
And so that was part of the art.
That was part of my job, I guess. But yes.
There is a certain perspective and a certain art to it, I would say. It's some of the things you might see as a commonality, someone else might not. You know what I mean? So there
is. That is true. So I would have to manually fish through all these books to right. see, oh, this season, how many designers use plaid? That's the trend this season, this fall. Plaid is in.
Isn't it? It's probably not.
But it's funny because I feel like plaid is always in now.
Plaid is universally it's in. It's universally in. Yeah. It's a comfort pattern.
It is. I have a lot of plaid in my wardrobe. But you know what? With the internet now, there isn't really anything that's trendy. It's just, I feel like everything sort of goes.
It's
now.
Too fast.
It's just, yeah, it's moved. Everything's moving so fast that there isn't really there aren't cycles anymore.
Yeah.
It's just, it's happening.
So how has that impacted the fashion industry, or did you leave before that happened? Or were you in the fashion industry during that transition where things were shifting from reviewing
yes.
Books or videos of these fashion shows, and then now it's all social media done?
I lived through all of it. I would say actually the beginning of my career, I would be flipping through books, and then it evolved into just looking on Vogue.com, seeing all the photos they publish. It's really strange how quickly it evolved the second the internet and social media started happening, because the influencers would be posting pictures of the fashion shows they go to. So years before, you would have to wait for these books to be published. And then now you just instantly go on your phone or online and you see Vogue publishing it online, or any other publication just giving you everything pretty much the same day. So that really changed a lot.
Now, do you have seasons? Probably just coincidentally, you have seasons.
You're definitely always going to have seasons, depending on which part of commerce you're working in. But there are always going to be seasons. I guess it depends on how many deliveries whichever brands would do. Like when I was working for a brand that was in Macy's, you know, they have different delivery dates. You know, every month they get a new delivery. So that's kind of the schedule I worked on. Or when I designed at Avon, they had 26 catalogs a year. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the flow I would design in. But a lot of brands now, like even the faster fashion brands now, they would have deliveries every single week. So that's what, 52
right.
deliveries a year. So it really depends on the company you work for and the pace they want to follow. And they're smaller brands. I feel like I see, even just for my own website, for my ceramics, when I first started my e-commerce business, I would push myself to have updates every few months.
Right.
But that's even too stressful for a single person run business, because I do everything from R&D, making the product, photographing, putting it on the website. I'm the website person, the shipper, everything. It's a one person operation, and that's why I'm burnt out too, doing that the past few years.
But you've been doing that for work or for expression, for fun, or a little bit of both?
All of the above. And I don't know if it's because that's in my nature that I just want to check all the boxes. So I'm just doing everything all at once. That might be my Chinese upbringing.
Okay.
As well. And I'm a perfectionist and a super achiever. So that's kind of the stress I put on myself.
I can understand providing updates. When I started the podcast, right? It seems like the standard thing is to put out an episode weekly. It got to a point where, listen, I'm doing this for fun. I will try and hit weekly as much as I can, but I'm not going to ruin my fun by pushing something out. I'm not going to put something out that I'm not proud of the editing job or the artwork or whatever, you know? So that's one of the luxuries of having a hobby just be its own hobby instead of having it be your hobby and your work. Because at some point, those things, you have to choose one or the other.
Totally.
I mean, I think, I don't know, because I've never worked in video games before. That might be.
Right. You know, that might, but you might change your tune.
I think we need to separate those things for our own happiness in some cases. It's nice to have a job where you enjoy what you're doing and you're creative and all these things, but thinking that that is common, I don't think that's true, that everyone enjoys their job or should enjoy their job to the point where they're doing it for fun. I don't know. What do you think about enjoying what you do?
Well, I mean, when I worked in fashion, I had a lot of fun in the beginning, and then I started climbing the corporate ladder. And that's when it started getting not so fun. Corporate politics comes in. I was working for a few Fortune 500 companies. And the capitalism kicks in and you're just, that takes the fun out of it. And you are designing into a price point to try to make the money. And when the president of the company is sitting in a meeting with me and I'm presenting the collection for the season, and he points out to a set of bangles and he's like, is this going to do me $1 million of business? And I'm like thinking, I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to use your word now. We emulated our bestseller that did sell millions of dollars.
Right.
But I can't guarantee that for you this time around.
Right. But I mean, all that person wants at that point is a yes or a no. Right.
Right.
Essentially. And you can dance around it too if you want. It's like all of our market research says this is the way to go. You just have to say it with confidence.
Yes. And that was what I was paid to do. And I said, yes, because what else am I going to say?
Exactly.
Because if I say no, that means me and my team would have to be redesigning all night to hit deadlines to kind of remake something.
And how much does this person who's the head really know? You're the person who's hired to be watching the trends, right?
Right.
So, and if it doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to, did you make $1 million?
Did the bracelet or me?
And well, as a person. Not you personally.
I would say no for me as a person.
Yeah, but the bracelet.
But the bracelet, not that specific one, but other ones perhaps, yes.
Oh, okay.
I have made many organizations a lot of money. So that's another sad thing too, is like I'm just another salaried person.
This makes sense why your first word choice was capitalism. It kind of, I mean, you know, it's a good word to talk about because there are things in video games where it's a business, right? These big companies like your Electronic Arts and your Bethesda and Activision and all these companies, they are making money. These days, the trend seems to be incredibly massive open world environments where you can explore a solar system of millions of planets, for example. That's what the big companies are saying. And it's kind of hard to figure out whether it's because that'll make them more money or it's what gamers want. They always say it's what gamers want. I always question that because that's not what I want as a gamer. I want a story. I want entertainment. I want something that's like a movie that I can play. You know what I mean?
For sure. I mean, from my standpoint, I can tell you 100% it's always commerce. It's always money, which is what makes me kind of sad.
In video games recently, there have been a lot of layoffs, and video games made improvements across the industry as far as amount of sales of things, right? They made more money this year than they did last year, but they still had to lay off people because they say the landscape is changing. Your big trends seem to be mobile games, which is also one of those things. Mobile games are the biggest market segment, and people are trying to make those things work, but I think it's one of those, I don't know, it's alchemy. It's trying to get that magic formula.
Specifically, that comment about mobile games, though, it has to be a numbers game.
Yeah.
Because there are way more, there are more mobile users than any of these other gaming platform. So for app designers, you're always thinking in the mobile first mentality because people's touch point our phones first. So you have to make sure it's mobile friendly before desktop.
What's the most common thing that people use nowadays, even over a computer?
Right. Everyone's got a smartphone.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of went from computers to smartphones. Your smartphone is a computer for the most part. Trends and popularity seem to be connected to me, but trending things don't have to be popular, right? Trending ideas.
Right. Because I feel like the word popular or like popularity is always positive, that people like it.
Right.
But trends could be.
Transcends.
Yeah. It could be either way. People could hate it or love it or be just like.
DEI is a trending sort of thing. That doesn't mean that it's trending because it's positive. I mean, it is a positive concept. I think it's a positive thing, but others don't.
Correct.
And it's trending because people who are influencing the search engine or whatever are not supporters of it. So it's still trending because it's an idea in the consciousness of society. It's not positive or negative. It's both.
Right.
I see someone's celebrity name trending for a day. What's my first thought?
I don't know. What is your first thought?
Did they die?
Oh, really?
That is my first thought. Whenever I see someone trending.
That would not cross my mind.
In fashion, you're trying to find the positive angle, what's going to make you money, right?
Right.
Or positive, quote unquote. I mean, capitalism aside.
Right, because I was raised on capitalism and.
Suckling from the teat of capitalism your entire life. Your entire life?
My entire life. I was born in 84.
Okay, but you were born in the United States, right?
I was born in San Jose, California.
Are you?
But I was raised in Hong Kong when it was a British colony.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So.
For how long?
I was there from 85 to 96.
So you never been into video games?
I mean, I can't say that because I have owned Nintendo 64 back in the day.
Okay.
And I've had multiple Game Boys growing up.
Was that your first system?
My first system was the OG Nintendo?
Okay. Just the NES.
Exactly. And this was when I was growing up in Hong Kong. So we had like the Japanese version.
Okay.
At least my neighbor had the Japanese version and I would go over to her apartment and that's what we would play.
Okay.
Our Japanese games.
You can read Japanese, right?
Yes. Well, that's also because growing up in Hong Kong, there's a lot of Japanese stuff there and I really, really love Japanese culture. So when it came time to choose a foreign language to take, I chose Japanese.
I need to take you to Japan when I go because I want someone to translate for me.
Well, the funny thing is when I went to Japan, I used Google Translate the whole time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The Translate app where you can just hold your phone over like, I don't know, a menu and then it translates the whole thing for you.
That's how we translated the Japanese Pringles containers for Andrew.
Oh, that's right.
Andrew shows through that. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They have great snacks.
Grand Prix Museum Curry or whatever that was.
So yeah, Nintendo was the first system I played on.
So not even arcades, just Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, I did have, you know what? I did go to the arcade a lot. Less so on games and more the Purikura sticker machines, I would say.
Okay.
Was the thing that my friend and I did a lot.
Oh, that's right. Yes, where you did the custom
like the graphic frames and then you add, I guess now it's what you do like on Instagram, like the stickers and stuff. I guess that's this trend has evolved from that Japanese trend into just your phones now. But back in the year 2000, my friends and I would go to the arcade into a sticker machine and you would pick out these stickers.
There's a games kind of place around here in the mall somewhere where they had a Purikura.
That makes sense because, I think I was at an arcade and Seattle recently and they did have the photo booths machines there too.
Seattle, going to visit the coffee.
Yes. But back to video games. I'm more of a Nintendo early on player, I would say.
Okay. When did that stop for you, games, as far as your life?
I don't know if it ever really actually stopped stopped. I just kind of migrated into like mobile games.
Okay. Okay. You play mobile games frequently or no?
I was huge on Candy Crush. That was my game of choice when I was commuting to my job in New York City. Because, you know, when you have a 45-minute commute, you got to find something to do. And sometimes you just don't feel like reading.
Yeah, I was going to say, who wants to read a book?
Well, and the problem is when you're, this is like obviously like New York City pre-pandemic, when you're like packed. Oh, I guess viewers can't see where my hands are. But when you're packed in like sardines, like you're literally like you're this close to somebody. It's, right. Which is now that I'm thinking about it, that would give me a panic attack.
Right.
If I had to commute the same way I did like pre-pandemic to my job, like that close to somebody physically, like I can't do that anymore. There were times when the train is so busy, I can't even read a magazine or a book because there was no space for it. I mean, even like I had an iPad mini. Well, first I had the regular iPad. That was kind of tough because it was still like a big thing to whip out on the subway to read on. And then so I went to the iPad mini when the mini came
don't
out.
You don't ever want to say whip out on the subway.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just that's just.
That's not a good word.
That's just not a good image. But anyway,
oh,
just
God.
Whip it out,
yes,
on the subway.
You're right. Everyone who's lived in New York would have a story of
about,
that.
Yeah, about flashing and whatnot.
Yeah, totally.
Even Chicago, same thing.
Yeah, when you're on the subway and you're trying to, you know, make time go by faster or just distract yourself from all the fights that break out on the train on a regular basis, you have something to do. And the only thing that really was able to take my attention away was Candy Crush. I feel like that might be an emotional crutch kind of addiction. The distraction I really needed.
It's a comfort.
Yeah. And plus, like, I love candy, so, and I love colorful things. So, hello, that game was perfect. So, I think you just clicked something in my head here. I think.
Oh.
I didn't realize this, but I guess I'm a puzzle game person because I grew up playing a lot of Tetris on the original giant gray Game Boy.
Tetris was great on that. Puzzle games are fun. I like puzzle games.
Yeah.
So, any other puzzle games come to mind other than your Candy Crush and your Tetris?
Well, Netflix has a game called Knittens, and it became a problem that I literally had to just stop cold turkey because it was becoming intrusive to my sleep.
Okay.
I would play it every night during the pandemic, I want to say, and I would just not sleep. You just go from one game to another.
I think there are some personality types that might be more susceptible to that kind of thing than others, because I know with my upbringing and arcades, they were small experiences. They were just like, you know, quarter, play it, done.
Yeah.
Quarter, play it, done. So I get bored. And even, you know, like with, you had your Atari games, the Atari 2600, which was my first console. You couldn't play those games for very long and not get bored. I had probably about a dozen different games, maybe more. And I would rotate those. So at a certain point, it's like I'm done playing games. So I usually, no more than 2 hours tops for me before bedtime. You just kept on going, just kept on stringing them along because I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you want to keep getting those yarn balls you're collecting.
Keep on getting those yarn balls.
It's called Knittens because it's knitting plus kittens.
Right, right. I was telling you about that. Yeah, I was telling you about quilts and cats.
Oh, right.
And
calico. Yes, exactly. Right. So I feel like this is like a pattern. This is another trend in gaming. Cats and, you know, fabric.
Cats thing, and fabric. Fabric
medium. So I had to keep collecting the yarn balls so that I can create those outfits.
Okay.
For my cats.
Right.
On the game. Because you got to win those fashion shows. Because every week they do a fashion show. And you want to enroll, you want to enter your cat into the fashion show with the right outfits.
Right, right. So, yeah, exactly. You do realize you are an adult speaking here,
Yes, this is so ridiculous. But I am 39 years old and
exactly.
I'm talking about this.
That's fine. That's fine. When the way I feel when I start explaining games to Andrew or whoever's on the show, it's like, you know.
Bonkers.
Yeah. It's a weird, like the one that I'm playing right now is Juicy Realm, which is where we got talking about the Juicy Couture stuff.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
this game, Juicy Realm. The whole premise is that a big seed falls from space and sends out a signal that turns all fruit sentient. And they start attacking everyone. So all the different fruits are shooting at you. It's a twin stick shooter.
I love it.
Yeah. It's.
I should not start that because I feel like that. Wait, what system is that on?
Well, I've got it on my PlayStation and I also have it on my Mac. You could probably get the version that's on your phone, but I don't see where you would have fun. I don't like twin stick shooters on mobile. Because you've got to use the screen.
It's
like you cover pieces of the screen. Now, iOS will allow you to connect controllers to your phone by way of Bluetooth. But it's not the same.
Not the same. You got to carry another thing. And
yeah.
I feel like Bluetooth is still not 100% where the pairing part is kind of annoying.
Well,
sometimes.
Yeah. Pair and unpair, pair and unpair.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, there are pairs in the... juicy realm. Anyway,
of course.
One of your first enemies is the pear.
Oh my gosh.
And they kind of do this bullet hell sort of thing. I don't know if you were familiar with the genre of bullet hell.
No, I'm not.
They're also called shoot 'em up games. They're really big in like China and Japan. Patterns of bullets coming out from usually ships and things that you have to dodge and shoot them.
The first game I played on Nintendo back in the early 90s. Is one of these games, and I really want to know, okay, maybe you can help solve this mystery.
Okay.
So my neighbor, a Japanese girl, she calls this game Atuta.
Atuta.
Yes.
Sounds like something that happens when you eat too many beans.
We would play this game like every single day, and it's like two people play it. So there's like a pink spaceship and a blue spaceship, and it's really cute. It's like a little ball kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, it shoots out these bullet patterns and you have to dodge stuff and you have to shoot stuff. And that's the first Nintendo game I ever played that I was obsessed with. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it still exists, but I also don't know if that's the real name or that was just the name that she's given this game. I never figured it out. Actually, maybe I could even ask her now. As an adult, I guess I don't know why I never bothered to.
Yeah, because video games was the last thing on your mind. That's why. I mean, it's
probably.
Like, it's not like it's...
It's like, why do I need to figure out this game from the 90s?
Yeah, what does Atuta mean?
I have no idea. Those are just sounds.
So it's not even a word.
I don't think it's a word.
Interesting. So maybe that's a name of someone.
Yeah, maybe it's a name of... Yeah, I don't know. But it's a very cute shooting game that shoots out these bullet patterns. I feel like if you look through all the shooting games on Nintendo from the early 90s, maybe you'll find it.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to be like, oh yeah, that's the one. Because if you show me a screen of it, I'll be able to see it. I'll be able to identify
it,
but I don't know.
I mean, pink and blue spaceships.
Pink and blue, like little ball-shaped spaceships.
Yeah, nothing is coming up with this.
Okay.
But it was dodging bullet patterns and stuff, right?
Yeah, I feel like you dodge stuff and then you have to shoot stuff.
Were they vertical?
Yeah, literally the spaceship is just like going like this.
Okay. So
I don't
traveling
know if that helps.
Up.
Yeah, right. Traveling up. It's such a basic game, but it's so much fun. Or I remembered it being fun back in the day.
The bullet hell was the variation of that game where you would have these crazy spiral wavy patterns of bullets that would come at you. And essentially you're doing more dodging than you are shooting, all these crazy bullet patterns coming at you. And that's why they call it bullet hell, because it's just kind of like, a lot of it is just dodging the patterns. Trends in games, digital licenses. That's an example of a video. So instead of going out and buying a cartridge or buying a physical thing, it's all delivered digitally. So I go on my Steam page. I say, I want to buy this thing. They send it to me. I install it. I've got a license for it. I can play it on this and or whatever computer I want to, as long as I have a Steam account. Same thing goes for my PlayStation 5. I don't have a disk drive, so I can't play games through disk. I can only play them through downloading them. So that is a trend that's just over the last 10, 15 years has been much more popular. And also probably one of the reasons why your game stores are disappearing.
Closing
too.
Up. I mean, I think this is also a business decision because it's probably more profitable for them to make you buy the license Or is it like a subscription thing?
Well, okay, so it varies. There are two business models, right? Microsoft is betting on the monthly develop a game. It's on Game Pass, and you can play any number of these games every month for free until they disappear from the Game Pass. And then, you know, but it's basically it's like Apple
Arcade.
It's
like a Netflix or, Apple Arcade or...
Or any of those game services that you pay a monthly fee and then they give you access to these games.
However many as you can play.
Right, exactly. You can play as many as you want or as few as you want. So that is also another trend, is that kind of service where you pay a monthly... I want console exclusives. I want things that only I can play first through the PlayStation, which is the reason why I went with the PlayStation 5 and not an Xbox. And there's a game that I'm playing that was a console exclusive for Xbox last year that recently was one of the games that, not to get too in the weeds about this, but Microsoft owns Bethesda, so we're going to make exclusives. They're going to be on the Xbox. If you want to play them, you buy an Xbox. Well, recently they've made announcements with like layoffs in the big gaming companies that those games are now coming to the PlayStation, which makes more sense if you buy a game, get it to as many people as possible so they can play it. One of the games that was an exclusive for the Xbox was this game called Hi-Fi Rush, which everyone loved and I was really disappointed in. And I'm going to talk about it on the show where we talk about the word beet.
Beet like B-E-A-T or B-E-E-T like the vegetable.
See, you know, I was going to make a joke on that show about how we're going to talk about the main ingredient, the borscht. But
my favorite soup, by the way.
Yeah, it's you know,
pretty. One of my favorites.
I am Lithuanian, so very familiar with beets and potatoes and all sorts of root vegetables.
Yes.
That's one of the trends.
One of the game trends. Okay.
And of course, there's virtual reality stuff. Like a lot of people have virtual reality headsets.
Right.
That's a trend that's going to keep on developing, I guess. There's virtual reality, which is a completely digital world. But then there's also AR, which is augmented reality.
I'm still confused as what AR is, because all I can think of is like, what's that? The game that you catch Pokemons on your phone?
Yes.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Right. Anything where it's a thing in your environment that you can see, like you can look through the camera and see that there's a Squirtle over there or whatever. I don't know. I don't know my Pokemon.
that's an actual Pokemon, yes.
That is a Pokemon.
Squirtle is a Pokemon.
There's also the Meowth and there's the Jigglypuff. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know them all.
Okay.
I've never caught them.
Okay.
And if I did, I will be vaccinated, so I don't don't catch them all.
So you're saying there is an augmented reality trend with games?
Yeah, it was more popular back in the day. You can build a structure like Legos or something. You can build it on your thing. You can put it in your environment and go, "Hey, there's the thing I built on my phone," but you can only see it through a screen. Like, let's say there's another thing where you can look through the phone and you see, "Hey, look at that. I've got all those seasons of
Gilmore Girls DVDs."
There's a little gnome that's walking around there by them. You can't see the little gnome, but if you look through the phone, you see the little gnome walking around. That's an augmented reality.
Can you explain to me why that's so interesting in the game world? Because I don't understand it at all.
It is creative. I don't quite understand myself.
Yeah.
I honestly don't understand virtual reality. It's more of a, I would rather have an immersive experience that was a virtual reality that had to deal with me and my senses. There was a place that we used to go back in the early 90s. It was called Virtual World, where you sat in these cockpits. It was like mech battles and stuff that they had running on a Mac, these big things that had all sorts of lights and buttons. And that's the kind of immersive virtual experience I want, something where I'm actually interacting with something physical. But yeah, the whole video thing, you're on a go-kart and you put on a headset and it's like you're riding a go-kart in Mario Kart or something. And, you know, like a big banana peel appears in front of you and you and it slows down your go-kart or something, right? I mean, you know, that would be an augmented reality. But I still, for me, it's a novelty. It's fun to try and do, but it's just not, I mean, it's not where I want games to go necessarily.
I feel like, I mean, if somebody does something really creative with it, maybe it would be really great. But right now, the way it is, it seems so rudimentary to me that I just don't get it. I can't imagine it being anything else. But I don't know. I also haven't tested the new Apple Vision Pro and see what that is like. So
You're not that kind of that level of influencer where you can get a free...
I am not. Yeah, I do have friends that work at Apple though, but I can get it at a discount. but I don't think I want that because I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be really motion sick from having that thing on my head all day.
Yeah. I mean, until the technology gets to be smaller, I don't see. I mean, why do things on a headset while you're walking? I mean, I understand saving money or saving time or whatever, but when you're walking, when you're doing something physical, it makes sense that you should observe your physical world. I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that? Maybe it's a comfort thing. Maybe it's something like you on the subway with your Candy Crush. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's something like it's more comfortable to interact with computers and a screen than it is with people or your environment.
That's a really good point. I actually never thought about it that way, but that's not in the marketing material with Apple. That's not their selling point.
No, it's not.
Their selling point is the integration between real life and tech.
Right. The synergy.
And bringing everyone actually closer together. Even though it scares me, like with the whole like deep fake situation with like a FaceTime call while you're wearing it, that really creeped me out. But anyway.
Yeah. Another trend that they expect will grow tremendously in 2024 is what they call generative AI in gaming. This is an article I'm reading in Forbes. But
of course,
in 2024, we will start to see the impact of the latest generation of generative AI tools really take off in the gaming space. Examples of how it will be used include generating dynamic storylines, creating more natural, believable characters who can converse with players without simply reading from scripts, and assisting in the building of vast game worlds and environments. Now, can AIs relate to humans on an emotional level? Do we want that? It's a big world that you can explore from the comfort of your couch or wherever. You would interact with these synthetic beings that really don't have emotions necessarily. Like this person, maybe they twitch their eye when they say one thing, right? And you kind of get an idea that maybe that makes them more uncomfortable or whatever. How is an AI going to come up with that kind of nuance?
I think it can, because the learning algorithm, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I mean,
please.
A human person.
Wait a second, a human person?
A human person.
Okay.
A human person as a baby human learn by experiencing things around them and pick up on things and evolve as a human in their brains that way.
Well, that's one of the ways.
That's okay.
Right? Because they also it's not like they're doing this on their own. They're receiving parental guidance. They're receiving other stimulus that is family oriented, not just the environment, but
yes. So that's a good point though. Yes, it's the nurturing and what they've learned from their environment and their parents, their guidance and whatnot. It's still somewhat of a vacuum in a way when you think about it. So isn't it the same in the AI world when you're training your model using all of these factors as well, and instead of a human brain, it's a processor.
Right.
So I feel like maybe now you're seeing it thinking, I don't know if I want to interact with this. But once that learning of the processor or whatever model evolves and become really complex,
Yeah.
Then what is really the difference between a human brain and the computer brain in that sense?
And that is when we disappear and from this planet. That's when humans are gone. Any alien coming down that would look at what's going on with people and the way they interact and all the hatred and all this stuff, I couldn't possibly see them thinking that we were worth saving. I mean, sometimes.
And that's exactly why, if you asked me if I believe in aliens, I would say yes. Why haven't we seen them yet? Because we're too dumb. They don't want to reveal. Exactly. Like you said, like we're not worth saving. We're that far gone.
Oh, they won't. They won't. Dumb. They won't last another millennium.
We'll let them burn on their own.
Right. I don't want to. It's not a scary thing. It can be exciting.
It is exciting.
Don't get me wrong. I think AI is an amazing field and it's really an interesting concept. My thought, though, is how do you teach emotion? How do you teach feelings? It's really not something. I mean, how do you program that? You can't really even program that into games unless you have actors doing the human nuance things that they do. Now, given time, yes, they'll evolve to a point.
It might take a while.
They can simulate a human. That's where the deep fake stuff gets really scary. But I think right now, AI is suited for tasks like cutting down time as far as testing in games. Testing loads. If you want to have these large worlds, you're going to have server loads that are going to go insane. And what you need is these, you know, you can give them scripts as far as what they would do, how they would test it, and then have at it. AIs analytically make total sense to me. But just something about an emotional AI, it's coming at some point.
Yeah.
And that's what's required for art. For something to mean something, be it writing a text or a script, it's got to have some sort of a feeling. And that is something that a human writer right now can give to it. And I don't think even a computer that's fed all the great works of Shakespeare and all that, until there are algorithms that will allow them to simulate feelings or write a certain way when they feel a certain way, we're not going to have believable stories from AIs, not right now. Maybe that's being done on purpose. Maybe they want to stoke that sort of fear in AIs and say, see what happens? Oh. This is what happens. And then they can go back to coal and oil.
It's the lobbying group. Uh-oh, we're going back to politics. That's but yes, exactly, I see what you're saying.
That's not what I don't want to go into politics, but yes, it's like, it's one of those things where you show them this thing that's scary, right? And then you say, okay, well, we should do it the old way because that's the way we've always done it and it's always worked and it's fine. And by the time I pass away, the earth's not my problem anymore, or what's happening is not my problem anymore. Trends can be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting observation within the video game world.
I mean, it's like, I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want that yet. I saw a commercial on YouTube that seemed like it was done with an AI reciting a script. Either that or it was a very bad actor. Because it was saying words in a human-like way, but the way it strung them together was off.
Was it kind of like robotic kind of feel?
It felt robotic.
Wow.
The person sounded 100% human. Like it was an actual human saying it, reading it from a script.
Yeah.
But the vocal intonations did not seem natural. You're in tune with the Google. You're my Google contact now, right?
Everything I do is Google. I'm 100% in the Google ecosystem. Yes, I am.
Yes, ecosystem.
My entire home is decked out in Google. It's completely Googleized everything. Every single piece of hardware.
I forget it. You Googly. Remember the, did you see Zoolander? You Googly's?
One of the best movies ever.
Yeah.
Yes. What is this Google question you have for me? I don't know if I can answer it.
You Googly's. How close is Google to having a believable AI with their server firms and their...
Oh, that I don't know. I would think that they're up there. They have the infrastructure. They have the capital.
Yeah.
I would think.
Google's doing some stuff. You've got Amazon's doing stuff with their cloud.
Microsoft.
Azure, which is the cloud for Microsoft. It's interesting, but I think you can harness that power for something that it's more suited for analytically, that can do research and do things of that nature. Why focus on art? Yes, it's cool that the thing...
It feeds your soul.
The computer's soul?
No, well, humans. But maybe it will feed the computer's soul eventually.
Eventually. Right now, it's way ahead of the game. Yes, should we think about it? Should we think about voice acting? Should we think about all these creative sort of things? What I don't understand is people saying, this AI is duplicating my work. It's like, well, no, I want to get my work taken out of this AI or whatever, because they're writing things in my words. It's like,
right.
I don't think they can do that. They can write things that sound like your words, but it's not as easy as that.
Yeah, that's a whole dicey situation with the copyright infringement and the AI thing now. It's huge. It's the next battle.
Yeah. There was an interesting article that I read about this company where it would utilize voice actors to feed this AI their voice, but they would get their royalties and they would get their stuff for their fully AI'd voice. So we're preparing for the future.
Right.
It's kind of a cool idea that I could record a whole bunch of words, maybe feed them all my podcasts, and maybe they would come up with a me.
I guess that's like going back to in the music world or in entertainment. Artists would trademark a lot of their sayings because they want to own these things. Like when I worked at Avon, I developed the collection for Paula Abdul's line of jewelry and
you
watches.
Cold-hearted snake, you. That was my first CD, by the way.
What?
Paula Abdul.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
If I still talk to her, she would be jazzed about that.
But you used to talk to Paula Abdul?
I was in her home. I had to work with her on this collection.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
I was in her home. I had her cell phone number. Like, we texted.
That is so awesome.
It's pretty awesome. So I remember in one of the brief, like in the beginning when we first started the business relationship, I had to be briefed on everything Paula Abdul and her legal counsel, her lawyer, basically would hand us a deck of all the things that Paula Abdul has trademarked, because that's what I used as inspiration to develop her line of jewelry and watches.
Okay.
So like she had the craziest things like trademarked. I don't even know if I have this deck anywhere, but there would just be sayings like, if you don't fit the mold, break it. Like, that line is trademarked by Paula Abdul. No one else can use that line. But I could use that line if I want to put it on like a charm or something like that.
Interesting.
So it's the same, I guess, like back in the 80s or 90s, that's what artists did. And I guess in the new version now is they got to trademark their sound tones or whatever. Because wasn't there...
Right.
Didn't someone make like some song with The Weeknd's voice or someone? I can't remember which pop artist. And that was like an issue that they had AI generate this new song using this other artist's voice, but it's not them. So that became a whole topic. So I think maybe that's why artists have to start doing this now.
Yeah.
Just to like protect their artistic, you know.
It's a very interesting topic.
It is.
Where if you want to own your voice, you've got to
Do it quick.
Yep. You got to prepare. Patent.
Well, can two people have the same voice? Is it like a fingerprint thing where you can't be the same?
I don't think I've met enough people to make that determination.
I mean, I feel like my ears aren't that sensitive to make that determination.
That too. Yeah. You know, there are people who say all meows sound the same. All cats sound the same, but they don't.
Oh,
right.
They don't.
No, they sound unique. So maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I mean, who knows? What are your closing words on the word trend?
My closing words?
Yes.
Oh, this is tough. How many words do I get? I don't know.
It's not Twitter.
It's not Twitter.
It's not X Twitter.
It's not X Twitter. I guess I love trends is what I have to say. I love culture. I mean, trends is culture and I'm the product of my environment. I love everything about culture, pop art, current zeitgeist, just like seeing where things are going.
Right.
I think there are things I'm going to be like, oh, I don't like that. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of fun stuff out there.
Right.
That's just, you know, awesome.
Trends, sort of the mathematical aspect, I think. How patterns emerge from trends coming up in popularity and then disappearing and then coming back again. Although I don't think Cabbage Patch Kids, I don't want that one to come back. But I mean, there are things that appear and disappear. And what I think are the coolest trends are new things. This is the creative piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you really can predict the trend until it actually happens because it's brand new. It's fresh.
Right. And when it happens, you don't even know that's a thing until it gets more mainstream too.
Right. Until Google tells
you. Right, exactly. Until there's some sort of validation.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing about artistry, being an artist, quote unquote, and making money at the same time or trying to, or I think if you can make money with what you are creating and enjoying your creations and things, do it. But there's still got to be fun to whatever you're doing. And if it becomes unfun, then...
then why bother?
Yeah, then find something else. Find something else. Find something new. Find a new wrinkle. Find something, you know...
find a new wrinkle.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like a new...
Oh, I thought you meant like specifically like...
On your
wrinkle
face.
On your face.
What? Oh my gosh. A new wrinkle. Oh, Jesus. You're not quite that old.
I did work for a skincare company, a very large one. So, you know.
I'm still impressed by the whole Paula Abdul thing. Wow. Yo, Paula, you up? No?
I don't know. Maybe she changed her number by now. I'm not sure. It's been like 9 years since the collaboration happened. So it's, I think, no.
Jackie, thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode. I really appreciate you being here talking about trends.
Thank you, Ben. It's been such a blast.
Yeah. I implore you, please consider coming back, if not for the conversation, for the Gilmore Girls.
For the Gilmore Girls, yes, for sure.
For the,
now I know if it's end times now and there's no internet and I can't stream.
You got seasons 1 through 7
right here.
I know
who's got the DVDs.
Right there. Thank you, audience, for joining us on this week's episode of the Too Vague Podcast. My name is Ben.
My name's Jackie.
And we've been your hosts. Have a wonderful night.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.